Go ahead and open your Bibles to the book of Colossians. We're going to look at a few different scriptures out of Colossians tonight. And as you're turning there, I'll give you a couple thoughts. I think that the Wheaties marketing people have done an excellent job over life. Wheaties is basically a bland, nasty cereal. But they have made it sound like if you eat this, you're going to be a champion at whatever athletic endeavor you pursue. And not like a Butch Jones fake champion of life. I mean, a real champion is what the Wheaties people are telling you you're going to be. Now, I know Butch Jones has been gone, but I'm always going to make fun of him. I feel like it's an obligation. He said some dumb things, and you need to laugh at them. So they took... And how many other varieties of Wheaties are? They got Raisin Bran, which is Wheaties with raisins. There's Total, which is Wheaties for old people. I know Corn Flakes is different because it's corn, I guess, and not wheat, but they don't taste much different. And Wheaties is made by General Mills. And I don't know if the General Mills people, if you just work for the Wheaties or if you do a bunch of things, but they've done a good job. Because they've gotten people, especially kids, worked on me when I was a kid. I'm eating Wheaties, I'm going to be good. Makes you think you're going to be the best at something. Well, as we get close to Christmas time, here's a good gift that you can give to yourself, to your loved ones, to your Lord. Be rooted in Christ. When you are rooted in Christ, that's the best status that you can have. And when you are rooted in Christ, that means you are going to give your best and be your best at everything that you do. I want you to look at Colossians chapter 2. Let's read verses 6 through 8 for our first stop in Colossians tonight. Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in Him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed and overflowing with gratitude. See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception according to the tradition of men, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ. There was a problem in the Colossae. If you drop down to verses 18 and 19 of the same chapter, you can kind of get an idea of what it is. In verses 18 and 19 of chapter 2, the Bible says, "Let no one keep defrauding you of your prize by delighting in self-abasement and the worship of angels, taking his stand on visions he has seen inflated without cause by his fleshly mind, and not holding fast to the head, from whom the entire body being supplied and held together by the joints and ligaments grows with a growth which is from God." See, a few verses earlier he said be rooted in Christ Jesus. And then down here you see that there's other things happening where it kind of looks like, to put it in my own words, they're not totally letting go of Jesus, but they're trying to add to other things and say, we need more than just Jesus. So they have been taken away, or they were starting to be taken away at least, by philosophy and empty deception, as mentioned there in verse 8. But Paul had made it very clear that Jesus is all sufficient. He is all that you need. The word "all" actually shows up 32 times in this book. Now, all is a common word, but if you go through the book of Colossians and you see how all is used, there really is an emphasis placed on the completeness and the sufficiency of Jesus. If you look over there at chapter 1, let's look at a couple of verses in chapter 1 real quick. Look at verse 15. Start there. "He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by Him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through Him and for Him. He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. He is also the head of the body, the church, and He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that He Himself will come to have first place in everything. For it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in Him, and through Him to reconcile all things to Himself, having made peace through the blood of His cross. Through Him, I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven." See, Jesus is completely sufficient. He is all-powerful. He is all that everything and everybody needs. But yet, folks in Colossae were letting other things trickle in, saying, we can have this along with Jesus. And that was their problem, and Paul worked them through that problem. But the Colossian problem is still a problem. Through philosophy and empty deception, Satan will get us to add to Christ in our minds. And really, if you start adding to Christ in your mind, you are being taken away from Him. Philosophy, the pursuit of knowledge, empty deception, being led away by nothing. If you really examine things that people are led away by sometimes, you'll see that there's nothing there. A few examples. If you're born a boy, you don't have to accept the fact that you're a boy anymore. That's the society that we live in. Scripture speaks clearly against that. Nature identifies that's not the reality. But that's a thing now. The book of Genesis has been under attack for many years, and people want to say, well, that wasn't a literal creation account there at the beginning, was it? That's just something that somebody put in there. Or what about saying, let government, not God, control you? Now you hear all those things and you said, but you said adding to Christ. Those all sound like social problems. And one of them certainly an attack on religion, but why would you put that in there as something that people are adding to Christ? So I'm going to tell you this. Don't be surprised when you start hearing things from not religious people that might be able to have an influence on the church, but from within the church sometimes. People who say, yes, I'm a follower of Jesus. I'm part of the Church of Christ. To say, we know these people that are born a boy and they want to say they're a girl. Well, we need to love and accept them. Love, sure. Accept, no, you don't accept something that's not godly. Would you ever be surprised to think that there's be Christians that would say, you know, there might be some leeway there in Genesis. Maybe that's not literal. Maybe that's not how God really did that. I'm not going to go into details of why I'd be saying such things. I'm just saying, don't ever be surprised if you hear such things. That's adding to Scripture. That's saying there's more than just Jesus out there. There's more than just a knowledge of Him. There's philosophy and empty deception all around. And on things such as that, on anything really, but on things such as that in particular, we need to make sure that our children are ready to handle those and ready to battle those. Because too many are leaving the church because they're not prepared to battle these things. And I don't even know if saying leaving the church is the proper term, because if you go away from your family and you fall prey to these things, maybe something wasn't ever in place there to begin with. That's kind of beside the point. The problem is people are falling victims to philosophy and empty deception. And trying to make sure that we don't fall victim to this, I came up with an acronym. I'm not an acronym guy. Now, Steve Riley had a good one on Wednesday, so I thought I would try one. So if you don't like this, blame Steve Riley. And since this is just a Devo tonight, the acronym is Devo. But each one of these are going to correspond to something in the book of Colossians. Look at Colossians chapter 3. Just about all of them come out of Colossians chapter 3. To not let us be carried away from philosophy and empty deception, first, in the word Devo, think desire. Think desire. Look at verse 5. Therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. See, we need to have proper desires. You know, philosophy and empty deception will tell you it's okay to give in to desires. And God will still love you, and God will still accept you. And yes, God will still love you, because God loves all souls. The book of Ezekiel tells us He doesn't take pleasure in the death of the wicked. But there are things, there are people, there are behaviors, there are mindsets, there are attitudes, there are beliefs that God will not accept. So He tells you the type of desires that you are to have and the type of desires that you are to put away. Look down there at verse 16. Eve, we need to equip. Be equipped. Equip ourselves. And we do that, as verse 16 tells us of Colossians chapter 3. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you. with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. So when we get together and sing, part of the reason that we sing, in fact, is a teaching type deal. We're supposed to be encouraging one another. The words are supposed to mean something. The last song that we just sung came right out of the Scriptures. We're supposed to take what the Bible tells us about God and in turn use that to praise Him. And in turn, as we are praising Him, be able to teach and equip one another. But of course, that means first and foremost, you have to dwell on the Word of God and let that indeed rule in your life. If you're dwelling upon Scripture, you're going to be very well equipped to deal with the philosophy and empty deception. You see it coming. You see it for what it is, and you see it for what it is not. Voice. V is the next letter. Voice, as in, listen to the voice of reasonable brethren. Look over here at chapter 4. I was wrong a moment ago. Not all of them come from chapter 3. Look over there at chapter 4. I'm going to read through some of this rather quickly, because I just want you to hear a list, if you will. Start there in verse 7 of chapter 4. As to all my affairs, Tychicus, our beloved brother and faithful servant and fellow bondservant in the Lord, will bring you information. For I have sent him to you for this very purpose, that you may know about our circumstances, and that he may encourage your hearts. And with him Onesimus, your faithful and beloved brother, who is one of your member, they will inform you about the whole situation here. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, sends you his greetings, and also Barnabas, Barnabas's cousin Mark, about whom you have received instructions. If he comes to you, welcome him. And also Jesus, who is called Justice. These are the only fellow workers for the kingdom of God who are from the circumcision, and they have proved to be an encouragement to me. Epaphras, who is one of your number, a bondslave of Jesus Christ, sends you his greetings, always laboring earnestly for you in his prayers, that you may stand perfect and fully assured in the will of God. And there's even a couple more names and a couple more groups of brethren to greet later on in the chapter, just a few verses down. But there's a list of names there, and Paul talks about them and he praises them and he says how they're to interact with them. Listen to the voice of good and reasonable brethren. They are always a source of advice and counsel, and they will keep you if you heed their words, because their words will be based on Scripture. Their experiences will be based on Scripture, and they will keep you, help keep you away from philosophy and empty deception. And then the last word, order. Have clarity of mind. Look again at chapter 3. Look at the very beginning of chapter 3. Therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on things that are on earth. Philosophy and empty deception work much better when there is doubt and chaos in your mind and in your life. And if your mind is set on things above, it is much harder for there to be doubt and chaos in your life. So there's a few ways that we can avoid the Colossian problem, because again, it's our problem just like it was theirs. I want you to do something with me now. We're going to close, but here's how I want to close. I want you to go to chapter 2 with me. Read verses 6 through 8 a moment ago. Let's drop down a little bit, starting there in verse 11. And in him you were also circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, removal of the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Paul's using circumcision there as an illustration to make this point in verse 12. Having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised up with him through faith in the working of God who raised you from the dead. When you were dead in your transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he made you alive together with him, having forgiven us all our transgressions. Having canceled out the certificate of debt consisting of decrees against us, which was hostile to us, he has taken them out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. I wanted to close with that scripture tonight to make it a means of an invitation. Baptism is littered throughout the New Testament. To make sure that we are where we need to be with Christ to begin with, that we don't ever fall into the worldly traps of philosophy and empty deception, we have to make sure we've done what verses 11 and following tell us in Colossians chapter 2. be baptized with Christ, have those sins forgiven. That is the case for you tonight. We'd love to help you out. But also, as we always do at this time, we offer an invitation for those who have done such things. Maybe there's something getting at you. Maybe doubt has crept in. Maybe you've fallen prey to something, and maybe you need some help getting back to it. And we have an opportunity to help you get back to it if that's what you want to do tonight. Come forward as we stand and sing.